Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Refirement Life. This is Christine Zamuda. We will not have Muge with us today. Muge is out doing some amazing things, probably doing one good deed at a time. But I do have the pleasure of being joined by Sharon Warner. And Sharon Warner has an amazing story of entrepreneurship. We are entitling this episode Thriving Through and for Others, One Safari at a Time. So hopefully that's piqued your interest of learning more about Sharon and her business and the excitement that can be found in Africa. So Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, you know, where you live, what you like to do in your free time, and then we'll get into the business aspect.
Sure. So I live in Ashton, Maryland, and I am a mother of three. In my previous life, before my safari company, I created a protocol called Green Pregnancy that connects health, wellness, and the environment, because I'm all about sustainability and the environment. And I've kind of carried that over into the safari business. But what I like to do, I play pickleball with my friends, take Pilates. I love the ocean, love to fish. So just all kinds of fun, exciting things. I love to be with my family.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So one business led to the other. Uh-huh. I'm fascinated by what you're doing here. And just, you know, when a lot of people are slowing down and maybe, you know, not taking on big challenges, you've decided to open a safari business in Tanzania. And just tell me a little bit about that journey. You know, how did you decide to make such a significant change?
So it started when I was thinking about my 50th birthday, and ever since the age of 10, I always wanted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. Never had the opportunity prior to that. So when I was turning 50, I said, you know what, I'm going to do it. And so my family and I climbed Kilimanjaro for my 50th birthday in February of 2018, and I would have never made it up the mountain if it weren't for my guide. And his name's Godfrey Fabian Mtui. When you climb Kilimanjaro, everybody has their own guide. And there were so many times that I wanted to give up. I just said, this is so hard. I was freezing. The altitude, I did get altitude sickness, but he just kept inspiring me and encouraging me. And he was the kindest, most generous man that I had ever met. So compassionate. And in talking to him for those 6 days, I realized that, you know, there were so many opportunities in the country, but so many people weren't afforded those opportunities. And so I really wanted to help him. He's a father of three, and he made about $100 US a month guiding people on the mountain. And he would do that 3 to 5 times a month. And, wow, you know, by the end of the month, there was no money for him. So he relied on tips. And I said, well, I could have given him a nice tip, but what would that do? He'd spend that money and that would be it. So his dream was to start a safari company. I loved being on safari. I had taken my kids in 2006. And always watch like National Geographic and shows like that. So as we were on the trek, he got my information, I got his, and he invited me back to stay with him and his family, meet his family, learn about his village. And I decided to do it. I had this fear my entire life. I never traveled alone. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? After I climbed Kilimanjaro, I realized there's nothing I can't do. So I went back in May of 2018, stayed with him in his village, and in talking, we decided we were going to start a company.
Wow. That is incredible. I mean, first, you're bonded to this individual for life because of the experience. It's a life-changing moment. It has opened so many doors for you, but also, you know, life-changing for your guide. Just incredible. But still, I have to ask you the question. A lot of people might think about doing that, but you actually did it. Like, was there a calling? Was there just something that was just pulling inside you saying, like, you have to do this?
You know, I live by the code of treat others how you'd want to be treated. And I just kept looking at him, how smart he was, how brilliant, but no opportunity. And I said, if I was in that position, I would want someone to do this for me. And so that's why I did it.
That's fantastic. It's fantastic. So you decide to start this business, and, you know, starting a business in the United States is daunting enough when you know the laws, when you know how things sort of happen and where you need to start. What kind of business lessons did you learn from opening a business in Africa?
Oh my gosh, so many. In terms of the insights, I would say, you know, I think you really need to identify your passions. I'm really passionate about nature and the environment, but also passionate about empowering others. So I knew that was something that I could do. You know, we came up with a business plan, and I conducted some market research just to see, you know, where things were. And it's very saturated. But what I realized was that if we started small and just did it in a bespoke kind of way, that, you know, we might make some headway. And for me, initially, it was just about him making more than $100 a month. Mm. And it just turned into something bigger. And I think because we both were passionate about it, loved it. And I had a good support system. My husband, who's been amazing, was very supportive and, you know, helped in any way he could, as well as my children. So I just think when you're dedicated and you persevere, you can do anything you put your mind to.
So true. So true. We actually had an episode, I think it was episode 2, where we talked about thinking about what you're passionate about and can you monetize what you're passionate about, because then it doesn't feel like work.
Correct.
Right. So It seems like you've taken that to just the next level. So tell me a little bit more. You know, we want to take our viewers on the visual of Africa. And if you had your, you know, 3 must see or must do experiences, what would you tell our listeners to plan on?
Well, Tanzania is a beautiful country with diverse wildlife. I mean, the nature is insane. I'm sure you've heard of the Serengeti National Park, which is like the Mecca in terms of going on safari. I would definitely say go to the Serengeti. On the way to the Serengeti, there's a World UNESCO site called Ngorongoro Crater. And it's like the Garden of Eden with animals. It's just absolutely beautiful. I've never seen anything like it. I would say you got to do that. And if you want to try climbing Kilimanjaro, do that.
Yeah, that's not going to be my trip. I want the safari, and then you showed me pictures of Zanzibar. That's my next stop. Oh, yeah. So, okay, and length of time, what do you think is a good amount of time? I know you could spend weeks there, but, you know, for the average trip.
You could do 10 to 14 days.
10 to 14 days, okay.
So far to get there. There's so much to see, and the country's huge. I mean, the Serengeti alone is the size of the state of Maryland.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Great. All right, so also, just as you're building this business, obviously there are cultural considerations, there are environmental considerations. What have you learned about running a business there, and how does the government work with entrepreneurs?
It's tough. There's a lot of challenges. The regulatory issues that they have there. You've got to really understand the local laws, which I'm so glad that I went back several times before we even kicked the business off to really just immerse myself in the culture, learn the local laws, learn how the people do things. What else? Infrastructure limitations, poor transportation, electricity issues. It goes on and off all the time. Low internet connectivity. Political instability. So, you know, and then just the cultural nuances you really have to understand, and it doesn't happen overnight.
Okay. Can you give me an example of a cultural nuance that surprised you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so they call foreigners Mzungus, which, that really took me aback. Oh, there's an Mzungu, Mzungu. The other thing was men hold hands, and that's something that, you don't really see here unless they're gay, but they don't even tolerate that there. What else? Just the people are very stoic, but they don't look like they're friendly, and they're the friendliest, kindest people you'd ever meet. And it's just understanding those little nuances that are so different from how things are here. No public displays of affection. So husband and wives, you never see them hug or kiss or anything like that.
That's a
But
lot to learn. I mean,
yeah.
that's a lot to learn because your eyes are always taking in data and making decisions, and without understanding, really how these people are connecting, you could make the wrong assumption.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that's fascinating. Wow. I can't wait to go.
Well.
Yeah. So what's next? You have the safari company. You've kind of probably through now several years figured out the kinks, and are things running smoothly? What would you like to see happen maybe in the next couple of years?
I think having my Fabian on the ground there really helps because he can get a lot of things done. One of the things that I had to do was I figured if I'm going to have this business, I need to speak the language. So I took Swahili for 3 years and learned how to speak Swahili, which has been very helpful. But just having him there, but there'll always be kinks because the laws change so much. And we just try to go with the flow. I used to take things so seriously before I became middle-aged, and now I just go with the flow. Nothing really bothers me.
Yeah. It's one day at a time, right? You kind of look at what's in front of you, have the sum of experiences which have brought us here, and then rely on some help too. We can't do it all.
No. I delegate. My daughter is part of the business, and she's extremely helpful. But that's just what we do. She's a photographer, does all of our photography, helps with the social media, stuff like that. But just delegating and having a support system around you is very helpful.
Yeah, what an amazing place to be a photographer.
Oh my gosh.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And how about just being a woman in business in Africa? What is that like? And maybe even, if you have any stories or experiences from your daughter's perspective, I think that's interesting too, because have things changed that makes it easier, or is it pretty much the same? Pretty much the same.
It's a very misogynistic culture. I can tell you, so when we first started the business, I said, well, we need our own vehicles. And so I bought my first Land Rover Defender 110, and it needed to be restored. So we got it, and I went there to help restore it. Fabian did not know how to drive even. So I taught him how to drive when I was there,
My
and
God, this could be a movie, Sharon.
he got his license. So when we were restoring the vehicle, it's not like here. It was basically a junkyard that we went to. I had to restore interior and exterior, as well as the engine. And I thought it would take maybe a month. It ended up taking 2 months, but I was there the whole time. So I would work probably 18-hour days in the hot sun, instructing people of what to do. So I took this book of how to restore a Defender, and we got kids off the street who wanted to learn mechanics and all that kind of stuff. They would come every day, and I would just sit there and oversee and tell them what to do. And they would sometimes there was a lot of push and pull. No, we don't do things that way. Nobody does that. That's too much money. And I'd say, I need my guests to be safe. And I want it to be really luxurious for them. And you guys are learning something. And so they really began to trust me, I would say, after maybe week four, when they realized I really knew what I was doing.
And you're
And
not giving up.
no, I was not. No. And then it was time to drive it. And they said, well, you know how to drive a stick shift? And I said, yeah. And they didn't believe it. So they couldn't believe that I could drive, much less drive it. And, you know, so I've taught them a lot, but it was very gratifying for me just watching them blossom and like see things. And it was great.
That
was the first one. And now we've subsequently restored three. So it's been good.
That is fantastic. Oh my gosh. You can learn anything, right? I mean, you literally had a manual.
I had a manual. I mean, my father was a big help because for me to get my license when I turned 16, I had to know how to change the oil on the car as well as change a tire. Mm-hmm. My father, he was a dentist, but he loved to tinker around with cars. So I learned a lot from him. But it was great. I had never restored a Defender before, though.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's crazy. That's a crazy. I remember my dad taught me stick shift in 6 hours because he and my mom were going away for a trip. I'm the oldest of four, and I was old enough to babysit and watch my sister. So I was 16, I guess. And he taught me, and then he left me with a stick shift. And then the whole weekend, we're like, stopping, starting, stalling out. And yeah, it was crazy, but you learned.
Yes, you did.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. That's crazy. So what advice would you have for people who, you know, have this maybe spark or idea in their mind and, you know, they're just starting to like think about doing something different? What, you know, knowing what you know, and you've done a lot of crazy, difficult things in your life, but where do you start? How do you inspire others to just take the first step?
I think just by encouraging them to embrace their own unique strengths, because we all have strengths, and invest in education and self-development. You really need to, no matter what the age. And start small. You know, you just never know where things will go. But, you know, don't think you're going to build a Fortune 500 company right off the bat, because it doesn't work that way. And you got to make sure you prioritize yourself and your well-being. For me, I always practice mindfulness, you know, stress management, do a lot of self-reflection. But I think the bottom line is, if you take care of yourself and if your heart's in the right place, you can get it done.
Totally. Totally. And I think it's important, you know, some of what you said also is just being patient. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks get frustrated because they don't see immediate results, but it takes quite some time to just knock at something one day at a time and, you know, celebrate the small successes, but also have the big picture plan in mind.
Exactly. And that's been the greatest lesson for my daughter, you know, at 23 years old, seeing that, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It takes time, and just to be patient, because in Tanzania, I mean, things are very slow. It's not, everything here is quick, quick, quick. There, it's very slow. It's pole, pole, slowly, slowly. And that has been a great lesson for her. And she has carried that over when she comes back to the States. So you really do have to be patient.
That's kind of a cool benefit too, right? I mean, you are the sum of all your experiences. So it's nice to maybe appreciate things differently as a result of your experiences elsewhere.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anything else planned for this year? Any other doer of difficult things? I know that you tell our listeners also about your marlin fishing, because I think this is amazing.
My father was a marlin fisherman. That was his hobby. That's all he liked to do, was boat and fish. So he fished the very first white marlin open in Ocean City, Maryland. I think it was 1976. It could be, but anyway, and fished every single white marlin open until his death. So he fished 49 straight in a year, 49 years straight. And so as a kid, I mean, that's what we did. We boated every weekend. And so I learned how to fish. I always wanted to fish the white marlin open when I was young. He'd say it was too dangerous. And then as I got older, we all fished it. But catching a marlin, there's nothing like it. To see that bill come up and, you know, dance on the ocean. And, you know, when it hits the bait, it's just the thrill. I mean, it's incredible. And I've caught many, never like 700 pounds. I've basically caught white marlin. Whenever a blue marlin hits, I tell my brother to get it. But, I did catch a tuna that was 183 pounds. That nearly killed me.
Yeah, double your weight.
But it's just the thrill of fishing. So that's just been something that we do every year as a family. And we're continuing my father's fishing journey for him in his honor. And it's not easy. You fish 3 days out of five. You go about 100 miles offshore. It takes, 3 to 4 hours to get out there. You fish for 8 hours, then you come back. And it's grueling, but it's exciting and just very gratifying.
Wow. So born with a little bit of adventure, and you've taken it now global.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. So if our listeners want to find you and learn and maybe even just book a safari, how would they do that?
So we're updating our website, which will go live June 1st. Mm-hmm. They can go www.moajazaexpeditions.com. Moajaza is M-O-A-J-A-Z-A, which is a term that Fabian loved. It's basically miracle. It stems from Arabic, but it's Urdu. And that's what we named the company, because he said it's a miracle that he was able to have his own business.
Oh, so, I love it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the website. I can't wait to see a smiling face. I can picture it.
Almost time. But that's what they can do. And all the information is there, phone numbers, itineraries, so they can really get an idea about what they want to do.
Fantastic. Well, it was such a pleasure hearing more about your story and just your true inspiration. And I hope that we lit up a spark for those who want to do something maybe different or try something that will just add so much to their lives if they take a chance. And also for the other maybe more passive folks who are still finding their things, maybe they'll just book a safari and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful experience. It's life-changing, I think, being out there in nature. But I just want everybody to remember it's never too late to start. I don't care what your age is.
Exactly. That's a running theme on our podcast. With most people living, to late 90s, 100, there's years and years and years and years and years and years, decades to do something. Right. So start now. Start now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, so nice talking to you. And with this, we'll sign off. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.